You're listening to Around Comics, episode 179. Campus of the Savannah College of Art and Design in historic Savannah, Georgia, this is Around Comics, the comic book culture podcast, where twice a week you'll hear a revolving panel of guests discuss comic books and graphic novels. I'm joined today by my co-hosts, Rashad Doucette.
What's up?
Jarrett Williams.
Hey, hey, hey.
Oh!
Young Miss Kathy, what is your last name? This is the first time I've met you. Kathy McLeod, kind of like Scott McLeod?
Yeah,
that's kind of like
only better.
No relation.
Hey!
I like Scott McCloud.
I don't dislike Scott McCloud, right. But Kathy's hot.
Damn!
Wait, I wasn't supposed to say that, was I?
Out loud.
I don't know.
And the new young lady voice to my right is Andrea Bell.
What's up?
That wasn't a young lady.
Hello. And as always, we're joined by the illustrious Kevin Burkhalter.
Thank you.
On every Thursday episode like this one, we will try to secure an interview with a comic industry professional, and today we're going to be talking to comic book artist James Kachalka, whose comics are noted for their blending of the real and the surreal. Largely autobiographical, his work reflects the world around him and includes such real-life characters as his wife, children, cat, friends, and colleagues. You may be familiar with his work on the American Elf series, Superfuckers, from our good friends at Top Shelf Comics, and his various music recordings.
This episode is sponsored by InStockTrades.com. InStockTrades.com is offering this month's reading selection, the originals, to Around Comic listeners for an amazing 35% off the cover price. Get your copy today for only $11.69 for the soft cover or $16.22 for the hardcover. Check out the Eisner-winning graphic novel by Dave Gibbons. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions.
Son of Galactus! Omnibus!
And more. All at a great discounted price. And remember that all orders over $50 ship free.
As opposed to being free.
Right.
Yeah, that was good. As we mentioned earlier, Chris, Sal, Tom, Scotty, and the regular Chicago crew are still on a short hiatus from show production, but fear not. We, the graduate students of the Sequential Art Department at the Savannah College of Art and Design, will be your fill-in artists over the next few weeks until the regular gang returns. We'll be recording every Friday at 7 p.m. in the stately Norris Hall, located at 548 East Broughton Street in Savannah. For more information about the college and our various programs of study, visit us at www.scad.edu.
That's kind of sexy, Andre.
Ooh.
Throw it out there.
All right. Okay, I try. Every now and then.
This portion of Around Comics is brought to you by Bizarre New World. The critically acclaimed series returns in a new prestige one-shot. After the first miniseries, the cat is out of the bag. The worldwide population suddenly gains the ability to fly.
Really?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah. A desperate phone call from his son forces Paul Kutcher to run the gauntlet.
I got a desperate phone call.
Yeah?
The other week, yeah.
Whoa.
Did you run the gauntlet like Paul Kutcher did?
No.
Is he related to Ashton Kutcher?
Oh,
that would be cool.
Is he punked?
Well,
I don't know. Crash and burn.
Can Ashton Kutcher fly? I don't know. Maybe.
Crash and burn.
Because Paul Kutcher can. I don't know.
Whatever.
But anyway, so Paul Kutcher runs the gauntlet of insanity to get to Arizona, but with chaos ripping across the planet and everyone airborne, the journey through California won't be easy.
I think it would be easy if they're all flying. Like, no traffic.
Bugs in your mouth, you know?
Yeah.
You know, we never flew before. We'd all kind of problems. Yeah, you got all kind of issues.
Unless,
with
like, if he's floating as well. And, like, if you floated, but you didn't have any propulsion, you know?
Oh, like, you did, like, gravity, you know, like, gravity,
like,
no
you
gravity?
You have to, like, swim through the air, like, you have to swim, you know what I'm saying? It would be difficult to get to California if you had to, like, Air Swim.
Whoa.
And you have to avoid, where's this going?
Doggy paddle.
Doggy paddle to Arizona. That's right.
All right, now without further ado, here's our conversation with comics creator James Kochalka.
And now Kevin's going to do the second half of his ad.
Find out why AintItCoolNews.com called Bizarre New World one of the best new comics of 2007. Pre-order your copy of Bizarre New World, Population Explosion,
woo!
from the February issue of Previews.
Oh, wait a second, I jumped the script?
That's okay, we got it.
Oh, man.
We're making it work.
We're making it work.
All right.
And to purchase the original 3-issue miniseries, head to your local comic book shop or visit us at www.apecomics.com.
That is www.apecomics.com.
There you go.
Sexy.
Is that the word?
So now is it time to talk to James Kochalka?
Yes, now it is time to talk to
him. All right, let's talk to James Kochalka.
Call him up.
It's just that stupid.
Hello?
Hi, may I speak to James Kochalka, please?
Yeah, hold on just a minute.
Hey, gentlemen, I'm telling you, sweet.
Hello?
James.
Hi.
We're here today with creator James Kochalka. How you doing, sir?
Wonderful.
Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome.
One of my graduate students here, Kevin Burkhalter, does journal comics as well, and you're actually the original creator of that genre of journal comics on the web. And Mr. Burkhalter does he does that too. And so I'm gonna turn it over to him and let him ask the first question. Is that cool?
Sure, fantastic.
Hey James, how's it going, man?
Good, really good.
Cool. Well, the one question I want to start off that's just been like, I don't know, I've just been thinking about a lot is why elves? Like, why do you draw yourself as an elf?
Well, it's kind of complicated. There was a particular story that I did in my old mini comic, James Kochalka Superstar,
mm-hmm.
which was like a story about myself as a kid, a sort of like loss of innocence story, and the elf. Was a symbol for innocence, and then
wow, yeah. You're getting deep, man.
And then also it helped to draw myself that way to sort of as like a buffer to protect me from, you know, since it was a really personal story, I wouldn't have to say like this happened to me. I could say, you know, it happened to this elf.
Awesome.
But it just kind of stuck. It worked really well for me. And the elf it has other symbolic meaning too, in that you know, I draw me and Amy as the elves, and then, you know, pretty much everyone else on Earth as something different. So we're sort of, you know, it separates us from the rest of humanity in a thematic, iconic sort of way, and then also, you know, I'm not completely. I mean, I'm a little bit. Have a little bit of arrested development or something, you know, like. So using what was a symbol for childhood innocence for an adult character is sort of like. A little awkward looking, but fits the way that I feel. So
that's cool. Yeah. So is your son Eli going to become an elf when he grows up, or?
Well, actually, I drew him as an elf when he was first born because I mean, he actually was born with pointy ears. but then after a few weeks, his pointy ears went away. So I started drawing him with round ears, and then suddenly he was a human. Now I draw all children as humans. It's funny, what was originally a symbol for children is now not used for children at all.
Hey, Mr. Kochalka, I first became familiar with your work. I picked up a volume of Cooper Skeeber, and you did a story called Hulk versus the Rain.
It's the real title is actually just The Hulk. But it is Hulk versus the Rain, and it's become known as Hulk versus the Rain, which is such a better title.
It's so great.
You know, I should have titled it The Hulk versus the Rain, but I titled it The Hulk. But it is The Hulk versus the Rain, you know, which is fine. I mean, there's some famous paintings that have a title, and then they have the title that they're commonly known as, which, you know, good. Anyhow, yeah. What's the question?
Well, much like great paintings, I felt your Hulk versus the Rain story was awesome, and I felt like the whole Cooper Skeever thing was really cool. Because it was like all of like these underground comics people, you know, taking their stab at mainstream characters and stuff. So how did that even come around? How did the whole Cooper Skeever thing happen?
Well, we right around that time, Marvel filed for bankruptcy for the first time. I think they might have filed for bankruptcy again since then. I don't know. But they filed for bankruptcy, or were on the verge of bankruptcy or something like that. So we just... we decided it would be fun to pretend that all their characters were suddenly public domain. That's not really the way that it works. We just pretended that the characters were up for grabs and that we could all take whatever character we wanted and they would be ours now. You know, so I chose the Hulk. And you know, a lot of the indie guys in the comics art scene, you know, grew up reading superhero comics as kids, and you know, we still have a nostalgic pull towards that kind of thing. So it was fun. It was just a fun project to do. Highwater Books that published it, they actually didn't even sell those books. They were giving them away at San Diego. I can't remember. At the San Diego Comic Con. I can't remember what year exactly that was.
Now, there was some legal foolishness that went down, too, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I did get a... I was contacted by Marvel several years later that said... they said, you know, we saw your Hulk versus the Rain comic. Instead of suing you, we'd like to buy it. And then I suggested I redo it from scratch in full color, and we did it for the Hulk Annual 2001, I think it was.
Cool. And now does that have anything to do with, like, the Bizarro World project?
Yeah, well, basically, I mean, Cooper Skeever, the Marvel issue of Cooper Skeever, it was actually called the Marvel Benefit issue. We pretended we were raising money for Marvel Comics to bail them out of their bankruptcy, I think. Although there was no money being raised since they weren't actually selling the book. But it really was incredibly influential. I mean, without that book, you wouldn't have DC's Bizarro series, and you wouldn't have. What's it, Project Superior or whatever, was it from Ad-House?
Yeah.
And in fact, mainstream comics now look like the comics that we were drawing in Cooper Skeever. For instance, the new Omega the Unknown looks like it could have come right out of that issue of Cooper Skeever.
Totally.
So,
totally.
You know, we just did this little... I think the reason why it was a fairly powerful book is that they weren't parodies. For the most part, people did not do parodies of superhero comics. They did superhero comics from a unique perspective. I mean, and superheroes are fairly powerful. They have a powerful grip on the American mind, and I think on the world mind. They have a lot of... symbolic resonance, and it's possible to make you know, interesting art using these sort of pulpy characters, and I think that's actually been shown again and again and again over the years, from, you know, Alan Moore's Watchmen to one I like now is Invincible.
Oh yeah, that's really good. Yeah,
great comic, Invincible. I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to be here, but a great comic.
Yeah.
I just kind of broke into the room. Invincible, not appeared.
You know, there was a time when the all in alternative comics, it was super uncool. I mean, superhero comics were the enemy. Yeah. And pretty much when I was breaking into the comic scene, superhero comics were considered the enemy. And I suppose that was probably a stance that alternative comics had to take in order to try and push the comics industry in another direction. But now, I feel like I'm far enough along in my career that the only concern that I should have about what work I want to make is what I want to make, and I don't really have any concern worrying about ideological boundaries or anything like that.
Cool. I wanted to ask a little more about your dailies since I do a daily strip.
Where can we find that, Kevin?
Oh, well...
mine is at AmericanElf.com.
Yeah.
And Kevin's is...
Is on... I don't have a site yet. It's a funny story.
Oh, well, there you go.
He tried to look you up just now, Kevin.
He has a blog.
I have a Live Journal account. That's the best I could do for right now. But it's cartoonist.livejournal.com. And how you spell cartoonist is... K-A-R-2
The digit two
N-I-S-T. And but I'll have a site by the end of this quarter, or else Jeremy Mullins will fail me from the class. But
that all came out, I couldn't understand a word that you said, actually, so hopefully someone else can understand.
Yeah.
You'll hear it on podcast.
Yeah. No, it's fine. I feel weird plugging my own journal comic in front of you, so
it's sort of amazing to me, really, how many sprung up. I mean, I've seen literally dozens and dozens and dozens of them from people all over the world, and some people don't even know that the idea came from my strip. For instance, Drew Wing,
yeah,
was one of the first guys to start doing a journal. Daily diary comics after mine. Mine wasn't online, but his was, and he had a whole, sling of his own imitators. And then this other guy, Ben Snakepit, who does one called Snakepit, somewhere in Texas, I think. And he, there's a whole crowd of guys in Texas that were inspired by Ben Snakepit. So. Pretty much, it's like, I don't know, it's like everybody that, we didn't sell that many of the early diary comic collections, but like everybody that bought it started their own strip, and then everyone that saw their strip started their own strip, but now, like, who knows how many people there are now? It could be hundreds and hundreds.
We're taking over the world.
But it turns out it's such a simple idea to just take the autobiographical comic and marry it with the daily diary, with the daily strip format. It's a pretty simple idea, but really a really useful way to express a human life. It turned out to be a form. It was a really powerful, useful form for comics. So, I feel good that people were inspired by my strip, and especially good that, I mean, like, to inspire people to draw and to draw more, draw every day. Yeah, everyone should draw every day.
Yeah,
so good.
Yeah, I see a huge improvement, of the strips I started doing, a year ago, even. And then the strips I'm doing now are just, in my opinion, just have grown, so much. Like, I'm a completely different, artist or whatever. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it works out, as an exercise. If you want to get better, draw every day, I guess. But, so I wanted to ask you, I run into, time constraints. I'm not the best at doing it daily, but I do it. As often as I can. How long does it take you to draw your strip?
I don't know. I don't really time myself,
yeah.
So it's hard to really say. But Probably, I mean, at least an hour. It might even take 2 hours. I don't think it usually takes 2 hours, but I guess probably an hour, including, you know, sitting there, thinking up the idea, penciling it, inking it, and coloring it. It probably all together takes an hour.
That's cool. That's cool. And, like, why did you start coloring them? Like, was that
color makes the world
when I went online.
Yeah.
And then I could, you know.
Right.
Like, it didn't cost any extra to color it. The only thing it costs you is time.
Yeah.
I first started doing it, like, just like a two-tone thing. And then I did, like, two-tone and adding a little bit of color, extra color here and there. And it was really only like a couple of weeks or a couple of months or something like that before it was always full color. Also, I've always kind of struggled with color my whole life.
Mm.
Like, had a hard time putting colors together in a way that ever looked good. And doing it every day, I kind of felt like, well, you know, if I pick some colors that don't look good together, it doesn't even matter because there's another one tomorrow. So I was just trying all sorts of different sort of color schemes, and like you said, drawing every day makes you better at drawing. Well, God, coloring every day, I mean, that's so much better at coloring. Now color is something that I feel completely natural with. There's no struggle at all in color with, you know, using color for me. So I have the script to thank for that.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Hey, James, may I ask you a question?
Sure.
I've been, you know, as I've been following your career and stuff, that, you know, it's different places you've been quoted as saying that, like, craft is the enemy, and people who generally get involved in comics feel that they have to work hard, and they have to practice, and they have to get good at drawing figures, and there's a certain level that they have attained before they can even really approach making comics. Could you, you know, elaborate further for our listeners what you mean by craft is the enemy?
It really means so many things. one of the things that I would see a lot is guys who really wanted to make a comic but just didn't think they were good enough to do it. And they were like, well, when I'm good enough at drawing, then I'm going to make my comic. Like, well, that's ridiculous. You're never going to be good enough. I mean, the skills involved in making a comic are kind of different than the skills involved in drawing. You're never going to be good enough if you don't just start making comics. And also, I really felt like if you're trying to make them, like, let's say you're trying to make them, I don't know, everyone doesn't have this goal, but my goal was to make a masterpiece that would be remembered forever, you know, for hundreds of years after I was dead. And I felt like a lot of that is just a combination of luck and inspiration and willpower, and it really doesn't matter what your technical skill is. It really matters how strong your willpower is, and you know, trying to get yourself in a position to take advantage of any flashes of inspiration that you might have. And those kind of skills have nothing to do with your technical ability to craft something. It has more to do with your ability to just harness wild energy and get it down on paper. That's what I was trying to express, I guess.
Well, can I ask you about your process? Like, when you sit down to do your stuff, you know, what do you work with? Do you do it straight with ink? Do you pencil first? How do you color your stuff?
Sure. Well, I mean, it's simple. I mean, it hardly matters, I guess. I mean, everybody works a slightly different way. I draw with a 6H pencil, which is like the hardest pencil you can get. It barely makes any line at all. So I pencil with that, and then ink with brush and India ink, and scan it into the computer and color it on the computer.
Cool. Well, I, you know, a lot of your work
no special trick or anything.
Well, you know, so we're an educational institution, so we always like to ask, you know, process questions and stuff like that.
So but I actually have a big problem right now, which is that I can't find a brush that I like. I had a brush that I liked that I used for years, and the manufacturer stopped making it. Well, I found another brush that I liked, and little did I know that the manufacturer had stopped making that one too. So now I've been trying other brushes, and I just can't find one that I like. They're either slightly too pointy or slightly too springy, and I just can't control them. Like some brushes will work just fine for drawing the comic, but then the lettering, they get all crazy. But you know, I like to letter my comics with the brush too. And I think lettering, you change direction a lot more frequently. So like if it's too pointy or springy on the end, it screws up more. So I don't know, I gotta find a good brush. And I don't know what to do.
I'm sorry, man. Yeah. I understand the pain.
Well, James, I heard a rumor like that you had done 2,000 pages of comics by the end of high school. Is that true? Is there any
that's something that's always
floated around, and I always wondered, like, is that really true? Did he really knock that many out, like, in high school? Yeah. I mean, I know I wasn't
not just high school. I mean, that's 2,000 pages of comics from like third grade to the end of high school.
Okay, cool, cool.
Well, I'm just guessing that it's 2,000 pages. I have these. It might be more. Let me see.
Why don't you count them?
I have like four or five boxes of reams of paper that my dad got me, and by the end of high school, I had drawn a page of comics on every page in the box. So the ream is like 500 pages. So that would be five boxes would be 2,500 pages.
You think you're ever going to put those out?
What's that?
You think you're ever going to publish those? awesome.
Well, I don't know. I kind of like to, but there's almost too many. I don't know how I decide which ones are worth doing. And like the early ones, I actually think the earlier ones that I did when I was a little kid are more interesting than the ones that I did when I was a teenager. But they were all drawn like with ballpoint pen, so you know, reproduction's not necessarily so great in ballpoint pen. But at some point, I switched to flare felt tip pens because once I discovered photocopy machines, then I was drawing for reproduction. So from like junior high on, I was trying to draw clearly for knowing that it would be reproduced. And one of my friends, his dad had an office in his house. So he had a photocopy machine in his house.
Oh, that's pimp. That's awesome.
Would make our zine and sell it at school. It was called Anarchy Today, and it was, we'd get everyone we knew to draw comics for it. We'd get, like, you know, even people that didn't really draw to draw comics for it. And I had a character, that actually would have, he was called Chainsaw Sam. Basically what he did was he chainsawed people to death.
I like to do that every now and then.
It was so much like Johnny the Homicidal Maniac, which came like 10 years later. So maybe I should do something with the Chainsaw Sam comic. I don't even think there's enough for a whole book, though.
That's awesome. Well,
this would be a typical Chainsaw Sam comic.
Nice.
That'd be Boy Scouts, right? Like on a boy, like a camping trip.
Mm-hmm.
Chainsaw Sam would tie him up, hang him from a tree, chainsaw comes to
play. Yeah, that's going to be real popular.
I think I'm going to incorporate that into my lesson plans. Kids that don't turn in work on time get chainsawed.
My main character when I was a little kid was called Captain Drip. And he was just a drip
Captain
of water
what?
With like stick figure legs and arms and a little, you know, eyes and nose and mouth.
Captain what?
Captain Drip.
Drip?
Uh-oh. That sounds like a problem. Captain Drip.
Oh, that's awesome. So.
And then his son, Dipsy.
Drip and Dipsy.
That's just an unfortunate
No, I want that
family.
One. I want that one. That one's awesome.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's cool. So, you got your MFA in painting, is that correct?
Yeah.
So, how do you find that, using, like, painting techniques, like, influences your comics, or are they just, do you approach them separately, like, differently, or do they go kind of hand in hand, or?
Well, yeah, I think they're really different skills. Mm-hmm. The reason I think they're really different skills, like, I got really good at painting, and still, like, when I draw a comic, it would still look, you know, really, really amateurish. So I think they're completely different skill sets somehow. But I have been trying over the last decade or so to integrate, try to fully integrate my life so that it's a smooth transition from any one part of my life to another. For instance, between drawing comics and making music and being a dad and, cooking or anything. Just have it all pretty part of a seamless whole. And I actually accomplished that pretty well. Because when I was younger, people would say, like, well, you know, your songs are funny, but your how come the paintings are so serious? Or, you know, like, they'd be like, I don't know, like that they were by two different people or something. But now I think it's pretty much all unified.
Well, we were talking earlier about the comics that you drew as a child, and I just wanted to say that I'm a huge fan of Monster Attack.
My son Eli's.
Yeah, I think it's just really beautiful and great that you and Eli are collaborating this way, and that you're introducing him to comics. And I was just wondering when and how you started introducing him to comics.
I started trying to get him to draw comics. It's funny because what he draws on Monster Attack now are not—it's not exactly comics. I mean, it's characters talking. It'll be like single panel things with like a character saying something. But he used to draw. I started him drawing comics like at two. I'd draw the panel borders. I would give him like the ink and the brush and let him draw inside it, and then he'd tell me what words to put with it. Sometime like last in September or so, he wasn't interested in drawing comics anymore, but just doing these drawings with characters saying things. So I don't know. Yeah. We read a lot of comics together. Actually, it used to be a real struggle to get him to draw with me. Like, he hated it. He hated drawing. Every kid in the world loves to draw, and he absolutely hated to draw. And I would kind of, like, force him to draw. And I was like, this kind of sucks. But I finally somehow, a year or so ago, figured out ways to make it fun. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that he didn't like it because it was something that I was doing, like, as work. Like, something like when I was drawing, I was working, and I couldn't play with him. So I think that made him kind of hate drawing. So I had to make drawing more like playing. And the first thing I did to that effect was we'd do what we call battle drawings. He would draw a character on one side of the page, and I'd draw a character on the other side of the page, and then we'd draw their attacks against each other. And, like, if his character shot something at my character, then I'd draw the blood gush out, or, you know, and stuff like that. Or he'd have shoot flames at his character and then draw the smoke and stuff. So that made drawing fun. And then from then, you know, really just snowballed. Now he just draws all the time.
Yeah, it seems like, I mean, the single panel comics even are just hilarious, and it seems like he's really, he's what, four now? He really grasps.
Yeah, you're four and a half, yeah.
It seems like he really grasped the idea of text and image together, and it seems like comics are something that children can intuitively understand. And do you hope or do you fear that maybe one day he'll surpass your comic greatness?
Well, I sure hope that he can surpass it, because
that's what I said.
Otherwise, it'd be miserable life to always be not as good as your dad. You know, so either he surpasses me or he does something else, you know, so that he doesn't feel like he's not as good.
Yeah.
I would, you know, it'd be great if he wanted to do something creative, but the weird thing about being a parent is, you know, like, if your kid grew up to be, like, the next Hitler, you'd probably be proud of him, you know, because they were the ruler. You know, whatever they did, you're going to be proud of them.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, James, my name's Andrea. I don't have a plug, so I'm just going to say hi, and then I'm going to ask you a question. You mentioned that you work in multiple disciplines, and that people, like your audience and your viewers, have said that it seems like your different art forms come from different artists. How do you feel being a multi-output artist like that?
Well, that was years ago, before I was, you know, really in the public eye. So these are just like my friends saying, "What's wrong with you? How come you're like, you know, like how come you're funny but you're making serious stuff?" Or how come, yeah, and, you know, like, there was just some disconnect between the art I was making and the person that I was.
Well, like, did the feedback that you got from them turn you into more of, the comic output type person that you became, like, artist you became?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, it probably was helpful. At the time, I thought that they were just wrong, you know, or, or that it didn't matter that there was this disconnect, because, you know, like, I may be goofy, but I'm not. It's not like I never think about anything serious. So why wouldn't I make serious art? But now I make art that is goofy and serious at the same time, you know? So
nice.
That's how I live life, so it makes sense for the art to be that way, too.
Yeah.
Art school kind of fucks you up, and then it makes you overthink everything until you just can't do anything anymore.
I don't know if I can support that.
I think some of the rest of us can, Jeremy.
I think my students can support you.
I agree that
Scat alert.
On crime.
What are you guys saying? It's a school in school.
Different people respond in different ways.
No, I'm just joking, man.
Well, and different schools teach different ways, so.
Yes, and different schools teach differently, that's true. Really, the schools that I went to, I would say they didn't teach at all.
My undergrad sucked too, man. I went to undergrad place and it was lame.
Well, let me ask you a quick question. Like, tell us about the Hockey Monkey thing and the Fox series, The Loop and stuff. How did that all? I mean, you've been recording for a long time and had been doing that, but how did that whole deal with Fox work out? And was it a positive experience?
I'm not sure exactly what the question is. I mean, like, how did the song end up as the theme song to the
Yeah,
the
exactly. How was it that you got to do that project for Fox?
The woman, Pam Brady, who created the show, she was a writer on South Park for many years, and she actually co-wrote the South Park movie, and she co-wrote Team America also. In case you didn't notice a woman's touch in those movies. But,
I always notice a woman's touch.
Oh, man.
Sitting too close.
Sweetwater.
Well, I don't know. There was someone. There was another writer on South Park who did a who did like a web series called Mr. Wong, I think it was. And they.
Oh, Mr. Wong, you see those?
Yeah.
Those are great.
Yeah, Mr. Wong's good.
He had asked to use Hockey Monkey in an episode of that. And then, so, you know, because they were friends, she obviously saw his cartoon, and then she thought it was an awesome song. And so when she did her show, she was like, well, the most awesome song I can think of, I want it to be the theme song to my show. And it was pretty, but it was a big problem, kind of, because when I wrote the song, I recorded it with this band called the Zambonis, an all-hockey band. They're all good friends of mine. But I split the songwriting credit with them. Really, I mean, I feel like I wrote the song, but I recorded it with them, and I split the songwriting credit with them. So cool. Then when it was time to, then when Fox wanted to buy it, I had to get permission from all these other guys. And every guy in the band had something different than he wanted. Like, some people wanted more money. One of the guys wanted no money, but didn't want to give up any rights in the song. You know, more punk rock sort of ideal.
So how'd you work that out?
And then, like, everybody had, there were, like four teams of lawyers involved, all arguing against each other. So the deal almost fell apart many times. It was very, very stressful. Like, in the morning, like, at the beginning of the day, the deal would be off. By evening, it would be back on again. By the next day, the deal would be off again. By the next evening, the deal would be back on. And this went on like that for, like, weeks. It was incredibly stressful. They finally sold the song for, you know, a lot of money.
Network television.
It all worked out, yeah. The only thing that would have made it better would be, you know, if the show stayed on the air.
Yeah, sorry about that, dude.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Good.
Well, James, what can people expect from you here in the near future? I know that AmericanElf.com is updated daily, but what can we expect in terms of print?
Well, in June, I have this book called Johnny Boo, The Best Little Ghost in the World, and it's you know, a comic for kids. And I actually have another Johnny Boo story called Johnny Boo Twinkle Power that'll come out in the fall. I mean, actually December. And then in November, American Elf Book 3 and a book of my paintings titled Little Paintings. Those are both coming in November. And actually, October will be, I mean, 2008 is the 10th anniversary of American Elf. I've been doing it for 10 years. Or
congratulations.
Congrats.
And that, you know,
college kids like the elf.
Whoa, I don't know what that
is.
It makes you uncomfortable.
But I'm sure it was fantastic. actually, all you guys have been real sort of buzzy sounding the whole time, but hopefully the quality of the podcast is fine.
We can hear you.
Okay. You can have voice actors go in and do your
There you go.
No, I'm really excited about, you know, the 10th anniversary of American Elf, which actually comes in October. In fact, can we do another one of these in October?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if we're still around and we're still filling in for the Around Comics guys, we'd be happy to. We here at SCAD are planning to launch our very own podcast here in the near future. And if we can't get you on Around Comics, we'd certainly love to have you on ours.
And if that doesn't happen, I'll do one with you.
What?
Awkward. Okay. I have one last question for you.
Oh, sure. Should I say what Johnny Boo is like?
Yeah, actually, yes. Go right ahead. Do it.
You know, it's just a really goofy, energetic, kids comic about, you know, this ghost, Johnny Boo, and his pet ghost, Squiggle. And, the way the way I worked on it was a little different than the way I worked on any of my other books, which is basically I would every day I'd write, every day while I was working on it, I would write like a chapter, like thumbnail sketch version of the chapter, and then read it to Eli as a bedtime story. And then if there was any part of the story like where he didn't really react or laugh or anything, then I would take it and rewrite it and try and make it more awesome. So the next time I read it to him, those parts where he just kind of was looking blankly at the page, I would get a laugh at him. So I want to make sure that there was, like, you know, there was funny the whole time from start to finish. So it worked out really well. I think it's going to, you know, it's a really highly entertaining book. And it was a fun way to work, you know. But, and that kind of goes along with what I was saying before about integrating every part of my life, my work and my life. In that instance, there's no difference. You know, like, I am reading a bedtime story to my son. I am also working on my new book at the exact same time. So, you know, like, it really is a great way to live.
And very efficient.
Yeah, it's efficient, but also just much more, it's just much more natural, and it energizes, I feel like it energizes my work, and it energizes my life. Like, it gives my life meaning, and it makes work, like, not work. Work is more like play then. And then play is also my work. So, I don't know, it's just, I've been feeling pretty good lately, so when I feel good, I feel like, you know, everything's fine. The problem is, like, if I get in a funk, then everything is bad. Work is bad. Life is bad.
Yeah.
You know?
What puts you in the funk, man?
What puts me in a funk?
Yeah. What puts you in a funk, man?
I have no idea. You know, it's a chemical thing, you know?
I hear you, man.
Yeah, we'll see in your comics, you just go on these rages. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, you know, like, sometimes people say, like, one of the criticisms that I get about my work is, like, well, it's all just about being cute and being happy, and it's sort of, like, fake, right? I don't know if anybody feels that way, but some people say things kind of like that. I mean, that's a criticism I've heard. But it's not really about a guy. The strip is not the story of a guy who thinks everything is great and life is fun all the time. It's about a guy who, you know, kind of struggles and wants to have fun in life, and often does, but sometimes stumbles and falters, you know? So that's what the strip's really about, I guess.
That's very true, yeah.
I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
See?
It's good. So I have one last question before we go here. Would you do us the honor and sing us a song?
Or a jingle? Just a little.
Sure.
Just a little.
Awesome.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
You don't want to do all that. I should sing.
Anything you want, man.
Anything I want.
What about a song about being on a podcast where it's fuzzy on your end, but we hear you really well? No pressure.
I just try and make something up off the.
Just do whatever.
Yeah, do it. Yeah,
absolutely, man.
I can, but it's not going to be any good. Let's see.
Yeah, but it's original.
Yeah, that's true. I'm talking on the phone, walking around. People are saying stuff, but all the sound is too fuzzy. I don't know what they're saying. I try to answer the questions.
That was awesome! Woo!
Woo! More buzzing!
James, that has just made you.
Song that my son Eli wrote. Well, actually, the whole family worked on this song. It starts. It goes. A B C D. I hate you. I hate you. A B C D. I hate you. A B C D E F G. I. doing. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, hate you. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, hate you.
Nice.
That is awesome.
It's a hit. It's a hit.
I it's
love
a
it.
Hit.
I love it.
Buzz. I love it. I'm gonna sing it every day.
Oh, that's awesome. That's made you the coolest artist that we've ever spoken to.
Dude.
Congratulations.
Yeah, dude.
Congratulations to you, sir. I want to definitely thank you for talking to us today, and thank you for taking time out. And you know, it's just been a great experience, and you know, a lot of the students here are following in your footsteps, as long as the journal, you know, is, you know, in respect to Journal Comics, and it's just meant a lot for you to take time out and join us, and we really appreciate it.
I appreciate your interest. You know, I'm glad that people read my stuff and want to talk to me.
You know who I am.
Well, you still say hi to Amy and Eli and Ollie.
Hey,
and Spandy.
Want to say hi to Amy real quick?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
She won't. Oh, yeah, wait, now here she goes.
Hi. Hi, Amy.
Amy Kachaka, how are you doing?
She
won't really talk on the phone. She said hi, though.
Oh.
She doesn't like me sticking the phone in her face.
Oh, well.
Sorry.
That's cool.
Give Spandy a squeeze for me.
Okay. All right, see you later.
All right, thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Wait,
nice.
Wait. Come here for a second, Kathy. Come up to the mic for a second.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question. So she's not Amy Kachaka? What's the story there?
Amy King.
Amy King? She didn't take his name?
I'm
that's terrible. I don't support that. I'm just teasing.
Where's the recording?
Her name is Amy King.
Amy King?
Yes.
Okay.
Are they just not married?
Well, I mean, I didn't know. They don't say that in the Wikipedia thing.
Whoa,
so, like,
comics, like, you know.
You trust Wikipedia?
No, well, see, there you go. There's evidence.
I like that. I like that they don't have the same name.
It doesn't say on Wikipedia that her name is, it just says his wife, Amy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I didn't know that, and thank you very much for sharing that. So,
that's cool, man.
So, Kevin, you know.
That was awesome.
You know, since you do the Journal Comics and stuff, like, for you, you're going to, I've been following Kachaka's, you know, since, like, the 90s and stuff, and, I mean, it's very cool, but for you as a Journal Comics creator, like, you know, is that sweet?
Yeah, you know, that was really cool. You know, I'm like, you know, obviously you have to, like, you know, pay respects to the man, you know, and
Ken seems good at paying respect to the man.
He's the man. I will say that, you know.
Well, the song was amazing. That was
that was classic. The song
that was awesome.
Yeah,
if we won't get that. That
so
was,
yeah,
that was a moment.
That was really very awkward and very, but
amazing.
That was amazing at the same
time. Podcasting, right?
We've got to all bootleg it, like LimeWire it.
Yeah.
Not only can we actually bring girls to the podcast, we can bring musical numbers.
Yeah,
original musical numbers.
Whoa,
yeah,
man.
And awkwardness.
And awkwardness.
I think there's awkwardness on every podcast.
Yes, that's true.
All right.
Nerds and girls and awkward? Is that?
Whoa.
Wait, nerds are awkward around girls?
No, what?
There are no nerds. I want to clarify. There are no nerds at this table. This is the Savannah College of Art and Design. And everybody here, you know,
I think we
roll on a different level.
Well, thanks, Jeremy. I appreciate it, buddy.
Absolutely.
Super all right,
man.
Absolutely. Anyway, this concludes this segment. Enjoy yourselves.
Yeah.
Our interview with cartoonist James Kachaka. I'd like to say thanks for talking to us today.
You're the bomb, yo!
Absolutely. And you know who else is the bomb?
Who's that?
All the people that were like cool enough to leave feedback on the Around Comics forum.
Awesome.
I think I can speak for everybody here, and I'm gonna, you know, everybody's gonna speak for themselves. But like, I mean, it was just the outpour of support was like really, really cool.
Yeah, man, we appreciate that.
Really appreciate that. And you know, there's certain people. I mean, I got emails and PMs and you know, all the stuff that were added to the forum, and all the friends of the department that listened in. I want to say thanks to everybody. Equinox especially gave some mad props.
Dude, Dr. Bombay, man, like after the show, or I guess on the forum, he ordered two of my Lunar Boy graphic novels for his like hometown library. So I thought that was awesome. So Dr. Bombay.
Yeah, both volumes. Yeah. Apparently. He was like, I'm getting those for the library.
Hey man, I didn't get my volume yet.
I felt special. I don't remember who it was, but they bought the Will Eisner thing I talked
about. Yeah.
Oh, who's that?
That was pretty magical, you know? It was magical for them too.
Because you're sharing comic love,
yeah,
essentially.
You know? We're changing lives.
You're passing, you know, Will Eisner back and
forth. Yeah. I gave the gift to Will Eisner.
It's a gift that keeps on giving, I guess.
Like, yeah, man.
I totally like, Eisnered somebody.
You're Eisner's pimp.
Yeah, man.
Rest in peace.
They got Eisnered.
That's awesome. Yeah, actually, rest in peace. You know where you can get, actually, the Lunar Boy 2? We're all going to be at MegaCon.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Unless this comes out after MegaCon.
No, maybe.
No, it might be the day. It might be the day
of
MegaCon.
You know what?
Orlando, Florida. Yeah. Friday through Sunday.
For those of you with, when is MegaCon again?
The 7th, 8th, and the 8th and 9th. 8th, 9th, and 10th.
Yeah. Okay, so if you're listening this after the 7th, 8th, 9th, or 10th, and you own a flux capacitor, then you could go back in time.
Oh, do it.
And join us at the MegaCon.
I like that song. Yeah.
The
bow. Oh, no.
No idea what that was.
Also, if you have like a time machine, you can also go back in time and join us at Duncan's party.
Yeah,
you have the information for that.
Here we go.
Dave Duncan.
No address.
The Duncans. That's Dave Duncan and his wife. Professor Dave Duncan. Invite you to their house on Friday night, February 29th, leap year.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a leap year party.
So all you time lords, hop in your time bubble.
If we're leaping time, it's
make
no
like
deal.
The challenges of the unknown.
We're kind
of
traveling in time.
Dude, tonight. I'm rocking my
we
DeLorean.
Are. We're traveling to the
future. I got
future.
A souped-up DeLorean
that's right.
With some nice speakers on it.
DeLorean,
some
I'm all
rims.
About. So the other thing I'm all about. Oh, wait. Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine. Starting around 7 p.m.-ish, podcasters, that's us, will arrive later. We're going to arrive later.
There will be like that.
Yeah.
You have to make an appearance.
You know, they're partying right now, actually, as we speak. I'm not gonna lie, it's
probably going down.
Yeah, so
in a major way.
Yeah,
I'm not. That's
it's
not
gonna
here.
Be huge.
I know it doesn't.
So there will be some food and drink and bring stuff, whatever stuff is.
Oh, I got some stuff in my pocket.
It.
And by drink we mean soda.
Yeah. So directions.
Directions are stopping.
You know what? Yeah. You know what? We'll post them on the forum. We'll post them on the forum.
Yeah. I'm all about Duncan's party, and I'm also all about the friends of the program. Go to www.aroundcomics.com where you can download and print out our LCS challenge flyer. I'm guessing that's local comic shop.
Absolutely. You know, it's true. Like, everybody makes with, like, the geeky, like, abbreviations and stuff. I don't support that.
Well, LCS is also...
I'm so sorry, because you're in the wrong industry then, buddy.
Well, LCS is also level control system, so it's like, LCS, what?
I don't know that.
What? I do, though.
You sound
anyway.
Jockeys.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, download the flyer and ask your local comic shop manager or owner if they will display it in their store. If they do, send us an email and we'll mention you and the store on the show. Actually, two people will be mentioned on the show. As well as posted on our website. Become a friend of the program today.
Two people mentioned me and Kevin?
No. Like, the person and then the store owner.
Oh, okay.
And the store.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Three things.
Yeah. And if you like doing that, you should also leave us a review like you guys did for our last show. Go to the podcast section of iTunes and leave us a review. Christopher Niesman really loves these, and if you left a review already, go make a new screen name and leave another one saying how awesome the SAV crew is.
And we
by
love
SAV,
you
mean
for
us.
That.
Yes, we do.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
We're like the savvy crew.
I mean,
AC
I'll show up at your
Southeast.
House. I'll show up at your house.
That's creepy. Stalker.
Stalker. With some music, you know, in a rose.
In a rose.
I love you. All right.
How do I follow that, man?
I don't know, man.
Okay.
Just follow it.
Okay.
Second best is all right.
Yeah, do your best.
Second best. Second best. This episode, once again, is
second best if he get an invite to your little evening.
Oh, hey.
What is Jeremy talking about?
Does anybody ever know what Jeremy's talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
Can I get through the ad?
Yes,
please?
Yes.
Please?
Do it.
Do it big.
Wait. Okay, now.
InStockTrades.com is offering this month's reading selection, The Originals, to Around Comics listeners for an amazing 35% off the cover price. Get your copy today for only $11.69 for the soft cover or $16.22 for the hardcover. Check out the Eisner-winning graphic novel by Will Dave Eisner. Givens.
Will Eisner.
Will Eisner Award.
Will Eisner.
Last week.
Will Eisner.
Kevin, that was last week.
Kevin's Eisner pimp. So,
if you say Will Eisner's name 1,000 times.
What you want?
Have you got that out your system now, man?
Sorry.
You got that out your system?
It's a little spicy this week, man.
Dude.
Will Eisner.
Let him finish, man.
I don't even know where I left off.
Will Eisner. You left off at Will Eisner.
By Dave Gibbons. Thank you, Rashad. No problem, thank you. You're a true friend.
I got you.
In Stock Trades is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions.
Son of Galactus! Galactus.
He likes to party.
Will Eisner.
He just chills on it.
He just trashes your planet and makes just, you
like,
clean it up.
He's a bunch of beer. He gets a surf all jacked up. Like, dude, I totally screwed up the surf. Ecstasy and a surfer,
I
do not
him
mix.
Him under a table.
No.
Tells bad stories about Crystal for me and humans. Yeah.
Anyway, you can get all of these books at great discounted prices. And remember that over $50 ship for free.
Free.
And right, free.
And we are proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for the essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, please visit www.heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809.
Now, excuse me. Why does nobody give Kevin a hard time?
No.
It's a serious thing. It's a hero initiative.
No,
what?
We'll need this one day.
It's serious. Because you, 70 years, me, buddy. And Rashad, like 20 years from now, we're going to get in the same situation.
We're going to need this.
Plus, stop.
But I have a
you
problem,
flew under the radar on that one, my friend. But next time. Next time.
No, but every time I hear safety net, I think of Spider-Man. Well, it's like they're like safety net. I'm like, what? Spider-Man safety. Catching somebody again?
Safety webs.
Safety webs.
I think of
safety
webs. They need safety webs for some reason. Anyway, check out what's going on now here in the SCAD Sequential Art Department by visiting our blog, sequalab.com. That's SEQALAB.com. It's a sequential art testing ground for SCAD students, faculty, and alumni. Find department news, information on upcoming events, get feedback on works in progress, and learn more about department visits and guest artist appearance. Log on today. That's once again, go to www.sequalab.com, SEQALAB.com.
I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. I'd like to thank everybody who's given us good feedback on the forums. I'd like to give you an extra special thanks again.
High five and thought.
I'd like to thank Tyler Nickum, who is always here to
Tyler is freaking legendary.
To document the evening artistically. A lot of people have said like really, really positive things about the comic strip that he drew.
Yeah.
And was posted on the Around Comics site. You got a lot of positive feedback.
And Tyler's looking really awkward right now, in case anybody's wondering.
Emo. He's pretty emo. Yeah. Emo.
He is emo. So emo.
Now he's angry.
Don't worry. This
so
will be a new comic.
His lawn mows itself.
He's the angry.
He's leaving.
We just made a new comic. He's made a new comic.
I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today, and thanks to the Savannah College of Art and Design for hosting us, as they kind of have to. Everyone, have a fantastic week. And in the meantime, we'll be everywhere in
Around Comics,
because she's a hot mistress.
Comics. Wow. All right, let me get this last one.
Go ahead.
expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production. Copyright 2008.